Good morning. Thank you very much for coming. Today's daf is daf Chaf Hei here in the Sechet Brachos. We were on the very bottom of Chaf Dalet Amud Beis, at the very end of page 24b. The Gemara was discussing the issue of saying Kriyat Shema in a holy context, the need to say Kriyat Shema in a spot that doesn't have excrement around, doesn't have a bad odor, the need to say Kriyat Shema in a holy context. And finally, the Gemara said that if somebody is saying Shema and realizes that there's bad stuff around with bad smells, he should stop. If he doesn't stop, he's disrespecting the Almighty. And if he does stop, because he won't say Shema or say words of Torah in a place with a bad smell, then he merits length of days. So we are two lines on the bottom.
I have a complaint to make about all these rabbis and the Jewish organizations, that they're selling these mailers with the Pasuk of Torah in it, with Shema Israel in it, you know, in order to collect, money.
That's a good thing to give money that's stuck
up. And 99.99% of them, they end up in a garbage can, okay? Good problem.
Not holy. That's a good problem.
Should stop it, or people that they receive things like this, they shouldn't enclose any money with it.
Okay, interesting point. That's a good point. All right, two lines on the bottom. Amar Rav Huna said, Haisa taliso chagura lo al masna. Let's say somebody takes a cloak. In our examples, it would probably be a towel. And he wraps the towel around his thighs and takes off his bathing suit. So now he just has a towel covering himself from the thigh down, and his chest is bare. Mutter likros kriyat shema. Now the last line of Chaf Dalet Amud Beis. He is allowed to read Kriyat Shema. Because apparently for Kriyat Shema, it's not like Shmona Esrei. Shmona Esrei, you're praying to God, you're talking to God. So when you're talking to God, you have to be dressed like, at the very least, the way you would be dressed in front of a king. But Kriyat Shema is not really talking to God or with God. It's a declaration. We believe that Hashem is one. We believe in the mitzvos. So that you can say even if the chest is bare. Tanya Mihachi, we also were taught in a brisa this way, Haisa taliso shel beged, if he had a cloak of garment, a woven cloak, or shel or leather, or shel sack or sackcloth, chagura al masnav, and it was tied on his thighs, mutter likros kriyat shema, he is allowed to read kriyat shema. Aval, however, maybe give to Gabriel. Aval, however, now starting today's daf Chaf Hei Amud Aleph, litfila for the recital of Shmona Esrei, ad sheyachases libo. It's not enough to cover from the waist down; he needs to cover his heart. Shmona Esrei, he needs to cover his chest, and as Rashi explains, he needs to show himself like one who's standing in front of a king, the lamod be'ema, and to stand in a state of awe. But when it comes to reading the Shema, he's not speaking before the king. Kriyat Shema is he's declaring to himself, to other Jews, here Yisrael, God is one. So there you can say it with a bare chest. But Shmona Esrei, he has to be standing like in front of a king. He has to be standing nicely, well put together. Right, that was law number one. Amar Rav Huna said another law. Shachach v'nichnas b'tfilin lebeis hakiseh. Someone forgot that he was wearing tefillin. Now, they used to wear tefillin all day. And he walks in with the tefillin on into the latrine. Now, in those days, they did not have the types of toilets that we have where it goes into water and the water then gets flushed into a cesspool. They had a field, and in the field there was excrement because people had gone to the field, crouched, and relieve themselves there. So he's wearing his tefillin. He goes, he crouches, he starts to relieve himself with the number two, with the bowel movement. And then he realizes, I have tefillin on. What is he going to do? Meiniach yado alein. He puts his hand on the tefillin. Ad sheyigmor, until he finishes. Whoa. Ad sheyigmor, until he finishes. Salka daitach, you think to say that? Why should he leave it on the whole way? He might be there for 10, 20 minutes. Ella, rather, kedamer of Nachmar Yitzchak, ad sheyigmor amud rishon, until he finishes that first pillar, that first chunk of bowel movement. Ask the Gemara, why does he have to let the first chunk go out with his tefillin on, just him covering the tefillin? But lifts the cloud, let him stop immediately in the middle, pull it in, as it were, and take off the tefillin, and then go back to finish up what he has to do. Velekum, let him stop right away. Velekum, and get up. Lalter is to stop right away. He answers, Mishum Dereb Shimon Gamliel. He doesn't stop in the middle right away, based on the lesson of Rabban Shimon, the son of Rabban Gamliel. The Tanu Lindan Abraiser, Rabban Shimon Gamliel Omer. Amuda Choser, if someone is relieving himself with the excrement coming out, and he has the pillar coming out, and then he pulls it in, maybe it's suddenly day hadrokon. That makes a person get an illness. The illness is called hadrokon. It inflates the stomach. And silon achozer, if someone's urinating and he doesn't allow the urine to just go out, he tries to pull it back in once it started to come out, maybe it's suddenly day yirakon. It makes a person have a different illness, the illness of yirakon, which is, I guess, some type of a liver illness where he becomes greenish. Rashi says, glinitsa, becomes somewhat green. Okay. Now going back to the issues of v'haya machanecha kadosh, your camp has to be holy whenever you do mitzvos. Itmar, we were taught in the yeshiva, tsoa al basaro. What happens if someone has excrement on his flesh? So there's some excrement on his thigh, some excrement on his hand. But it's not in his mouth, it's not near his nostrils, it's just on his body. Oh, yado munachas b'veisakise. Or his hand is placed, it's resting in that field that has all the excrement, in the place where the latrine, where people alleviate themselves. Ravuna said, since his mouth isn't there, his nostrils aren't there, it's just his hand, it's his leg, mutalikros kriyat shema, he's allowed to read shema. Rav Chisda disagreed. Rav Chisda says, also likros kriyat shema, he's not allowed to read kriyat shema. Amar Rav explained, what's the argument between Rav Huna, who says that the excrement that disqualifies has to be in the nostrils and not on the hand, and Rav Chisda says even on the hand it disqualifies. Rav explained, what's the reasoning of Rav Huna? He says only the excrement in the nostrils or on the mouth would disqualify, because the Torah, the last verse of Tehillim states, kol neshama tehallel ka, all of the soul will praise God. So what is the soul? The soul are those organs that have neshima, that have breath, that have life. That's the mouth, the nostrils. So if the mouth or the nostrils, that's what's supposed to be praising God, if they have excrement, so that would be a lack of a pure camp. Wouldn't it be a holy camp? Wouldn't it be machanecha kadosh? But if the hand has some excrement or the leg has some excrement, that's not what's praising God anyway. That's okay. You can still praise God even though the hand or the leg has some excrement on it. But Rav Chisda disagrees. Rav Chisda says, you're not allowed to read kriyat shema with excrement on the hand or the leg. My time to Rav Chisda was using Rav Chisda to chsiv, because the pasuk says, kol atzmosei tomarna Hashem mikamocha. All of my limbs will say God who is like you. The entirety of the person is praising God, all of the limbs. So if you have any part of the limb has excrement on it, it disqualifies the person from saying Shema, because all of him, every part of him, is praising God when he says Shema. Itmar, it was taught in the yeshiva. Reyach, we're going to learn that there's two types of smells. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shehakol Mivdvaro. There's a bad smell that has a foundation, that is a bad smell from a piece of excrement. And then there's a bad smell without a foundation, a bad smell from air, from wind, from gas. So we learned, Itmar was taught in the yeshiva, Reach ra, sheyesh lo ikar, a bad smell that has a foundation. In other words, it comes from a piece of excrement, which is there, and that's giving the bad smell. Ravuna Amar Ravuna said, to pray, marchik dal ramos, he needs to walk away four amos from the excrement, from the source, from the foundation. So four amos is 6 feet. He has to walk away 6 feet, and then the kore kriyat shema, then he can reach shema. However, so apparently, according to Ravuna, even though there's a smell where he's at, but as long as he's four amos away from the source of the smell, he can say Shema. However, Rav Chisda said, no, another argument between Rav Huna and Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda says, Marchik arba amos mimakom shepasak areach. He has to move away 4 amos from where the smell stops. And then the korei kriyat shema. Tanya kavazad Rav Chisda, we have a brisa like Rav Chisda, that it's not enough to move 4 amos away from the excrement. One has to move 4 amos away from where the smell of the excrement stopped and read kriyat shema. Look at a brisa like Rav Chisda. Lo yikratim kriyat shema, a person should not read kriyat shema. Lo kineged soas adam, not opposite, in other words, not next to and in front of the excrement of a person. Lo kineged soas klavim, nor in front of the excrement of dogs. Lo kineged soas chazirim, nor in front of the excrement of pigs. Lo kineged soas tarnagolim, nor in front of the excrement of chickens. The lo kineged ashva, the Gra takes out the word soa here, not in front of a garbage dump. Sharei chara, that has a bad smell. The im hayamakum kavo asar atvachim, and if the excrement is in a spot that's 10 tefachim above where he is, in other words, on a shelf, 10 tefachim higher, or on a hill, 10 tefachim ahead of him, or namochaser tefachim, or it's in a pit, 10 tefachim deep from him, then Yoshev Yitzido can sit on the side of the excrement, vikore kriyat shema, read kriyat shema, vim lav, and if he can't do that, if it's not 10 tefachim deep or 10 tefachim higher, marchik melo einav, he has to distance himself far enough so as not to see it, and then he can read kriyat shema. V'chein l'tfila, and the same is true in regards to praying shmona esrei. What about reach ra sheyesh lo ikar, a bad smell that has a foundation, in other words, that comes from a piece of excrement? Marchik dalet amos, he distances himself 4 amos, mimakom hareach, from the place where the smell ended. That's like Rav Chisda. Then v'kori kriyat shema. Okay, so we have Rav Chisda, who says that he has to go 4 amos away from where the smell ends to reach Shema. According to Rav Huna, he just had to go 4 amos away from where the excrement is to be able to reach Shema. Rashi points out, according to Rav Huna, though, he still can't be seeing it. So he has to be 4 amos ahead of it so that it's behind him to be able to reach Shema, even though the smell is still there, with, according to Rav Huna. Amar Rava, Rava said, when we look at this brisa that we quoted as a support for Rav Chisda, there's an aspect of this brisa that we don't accept. Halacha is not like this brisa in regards to the excrement of dogs and pigs. The brisa says that you can't say Shema in front of the excrement of dogs and pigs, but Ela ki hadetanya. But rather, the halacha is like the following brisa, which says Lo yikra adam kriyat shema lo keneged soas adam. A person should not read kriyat shema in front of or next to the excrement of a person. Lo keneged soas chazirim lo keneged soas klavim. His man shenasan oros lesochan, nor can he read kriyat shema next to the excrement of pigs and dogs if the excrement of pigs and dogs is being mixed with skins. When they would try to turn the skins of an animal into a leather, they would work the skin with excrement to soften it up. So that has a really foul smell when you have both the skin and an excrement of a dog or the excrement of a pig. That's a bad smell that you have to walk away from. But if you just have the excrement of a dog, according to this brisa, you don't need to walk away from that. And that is, in fact, the halacha. The halacha is you only need to walk away from the excrement of a pig or a dog that's mixed also with a skin. So this was all the discussion of smells with a source, namely smells from a piece of excrement. Now, boy, Rav Sheshes. They asked the question of Rav Sheshes. Reach rasha in lo ikar, what about a smell that doesn't have a source? In other words, a smell from gas doesn't have a source. It's just wind. So mahu, what's the halacha? Can you say kriyat shema in front of that smell? Can you daven in front of that smell? Shmona Esrei. Amaluhu, Rav Sheshes said to them, to the students, asu kam chazu si hani tzipi, these mats, debay rav, of the yeshiva, where people are learning. But they didn't have chairs necessarily. They would have mats on the floor, and people would be sitting on the mats and listening to the rabbi teaching. So what happens when a rabbi teaches? Tahanu ganu. Some people sleep. Vahanu garsi. And others next to them are reviewing their learning. So 1 second, Rashi points out. Hanu ganu v'hanu garsi. Some are learning garsi and some are sleeping. Even though it's normal for those who are sleeping to be passing gas. So in a base medrash, you have some people sleeping, other people are learning. So you see that even though you have a bad smell, you can still learn. Hanimili, that's only true though, but Divrei Torah. In regards to one's review, Rashi changed the Girsa from Divrei Torah to Girsa. If one's reviewing his learning, it's sort of automatic, right? He's on track. He keeps reviewing it. One word leads to the next. So that he can do, even though he's in front of a bad smell with no source. But in regards to reading Kriyat Shema, that's not. He should go outside and read Kriyat Shema. He shouldn't read Kriyat Shema in the presence of the bad smell from the gas. Even in regards to Torah, according to Rashi, this is only true about the gas that comes from his friend. But if he himself passed wind and produced a bad smell, he shouldn't be reviewing his learning. He should wait till the wind dissipates, and then he can review his learning. Look, then we wouldn't say he can keep learning in the presence of the bad smell. Okay, now talking about another topic within this issue. Whether or not he can say Shema.
No, by himself, from his own versus somebody
else's. What's the difference between the smells?
He always smells worse than somebody else's.
You think it's worse if it's somebody else's?
Yeah.
I know. I don't know. I guess maybe with other people, because he's reviewing, he's sort of on track. But if he himself sort of been distracted by the smell that came out of him, maybe he can now stop also, and he should stop because of the smell.
This one's a no, this one's not. Maybe he could have just gone outside.
Right. Maybe that's also a part of it. Oh, if it's his, there's a source to it. Oh, then there's some foundation to it. Nice. Okay, good. Thank you. Okay, so now, in those days, they didn't have the toilets that we have. They used to have urns. And there would be one urn called the Graf Shel Re'i, the urn for the excrement. And then there would be another urn for the urine. So the urn would get filled up with the excrement or the urine. And someone would carry out the urn from the house, dump it in the latrine, and bring it back into the house. So what happens if you're davening Shmona Esrei, and someone's walking by with this Graf Shel Re'i, with the urn filled with the excrement? Does that mean you have to stop your Shmona Esrei till he passes, until the smell goes? Itmar was taught in the yeshiva, Tsoa Overis, passing excrement. Abaye Amar Mutar Likros Kriyat Shema. Abaye says you can read Kriyat Shema in front of it. Rav Amar Asa Likros Kriyat Shema. Rav said you now that read Kriyat Shema in front of it. Amar Abaye said, Mina Aminullah, what's my source? It's not. We learned in a Mishnah in regards to a Mitzora. A dead body can transmit impurity through a common roof. So can a Mitzora who is stationary, who's set in this spot. But a Mitzora who's walking through this spot does not transmit Tumah through a common roof. So we learned in a Mishnah, Hatame, if the Tame Mitzora is Omed, he's standing still, Tachas Ha'ilan, under a tree, then he's set in this spot. Vahatar, and the Torah person, his Over is passing through under the same tree, so the tree is a canopy, a common roof. Tame, then the impurity from the Mitzora is spread onto the person who is walking through. But if the Tor is Omed, the Tor person is the one who's stationary and standing under the tree, Tachas Ha'ilan, Vitame, and the impure Mitzora is Over, is passing under the tree, Tor, the Tor person stays Tor, the Tumah does not get transferred. V'im Amad, but if the Mitzora stood still, then Tame, then the Tumah does get transferred. V'chein be'evan amenugas, and the same is true with a stone that has tzaras on it. If the stone is set, is stationary under the tree, the Tumah spreads. If the stone is being carried through, the Tumah doesn't spread. So what do you see? If a stone of tzaras is being carried under this roof, it's not considered here. It's not considered set here. So Abaye says the same should be true with the Graf Shel Re'i, with this urn holding in it lots of excrement. If it's being carried through, it's not set here, and the person can still say Shema. Rav will tell you that's not comparable. Hasam, in regards to transmitting impurity because you're established under a tree, b'kviusa talya milsa, it's dependent on being set in a place. Dichsev, because the Torah says about the Mitzora, badad yeshev, he's to sit alone. Michutz l'machane moshavo, outside of the camp is his residence. But Rachabar over here, Hashem said your camp needs to be holy, it needs to be clean. If excrement is being passed through, it's not a holy camp right now. There's a bad smell. V'aleka, you don't have a holy camp. And therefore, even if it's passing through, you cannot say Shema in its presence, according to Rava. Amar Rav Papa now taught, Pi chazir, the mouth of a pig, Kitsoa overes dummy is like excrement passing through. Chitza, of course. Well, you think the mouth of a pig is clean? He's in the garbage all the time. The reason why I needed to tell you this and why it's not so simple, even if the pig is coming out of a river, you think he cleaned himself? He didn't clean himself. His mouth is still passing excrement. Now another question. What about when we're not sure if it's excrement or not? Rabbi Yehuda said, Safik tzoa, if we're not sure if it's excrement, asura. You can't read Kriyat Shema in front of it. Safik meir aglayim, if we're not sure if this little pool of liquid in front of us is urine, or maybe it's water, then mutzarim, then we are allowed to read Kriyat Shema in front of it. The reason why we'll see is that excrement on the floor is a deoraisa, is a biblical law, not to say Kriyat Shema in front of it. Urine on the floor is not a biblical law. It's only rabbinic that you shouldn't say Kriyat Shema. So when we're in a suffix of a drabbanan, we're not sure about a rabbinic law, we're lenient. Ika de Amri, another version. Others say it this way. Amr Rav Yehuda said, suffix tzoa bebayis. If you have a clump of stuff in a house and you're not sure if it's excrement or not, Muteris, you can say Kriyat Shema because you can assume that in the house people are not going to have excrement. Ba'aspa, but in a garbage dump you have something which you're not sure what it is. Asur, you can't say Kriyat Shema in front of it. Suffik meir aglayim, if what you have in front of you is a pool of a liquid, you don't know if it's urine or not. Afilu ba'ashba, even if that suffik is in a garbage dump where it's likely to have a lot of urine, nami mutarin, you're still allowed to say Kriyat Shema. Why? Savar la, Rav Yehuda holds ki had Rav Amnuna, like the lesson of Rav Amnuna. Tamar Rav Amnuna taught, lo asra Torah ela keneged amud bilvad, in regards to urine, the Torah does not prohibit you from saying Shema in front of urine. The Torah prohibits you from saying Shema in front of flowing urine. Urine that's flowing right out of a man's member, you can't say Shema in front of that. But once it hit the ground, the Torah didn't even prohibit you saying Shema from in front of it, and it's only rabbinic. Kid Rabbi Yonasan, that's as Rabbi Yonasan taught. Rabbi Yonasan, Rami, Rabbi Yonasan asked if there's a contradiction. See if the pasuk says, V'yatzi alocha michutz l'machaneh, you should have an area outside of your army camp. V'yatzas hasham achutz, and you'll go out there to the outside and relieve yourself. Then we have another verse which says, you need to have a shovel outside. Not only can you relieve yourself, but you need to cover that which comes out of you. So do you need a cover or not? The first verse doesn't imply you need a cover. The second verse implies you do need a cover. Okay, it says, what's the answer? One is talking about the big stuff that comes out, namely the excrement. That you need a cover. Because if it's on the floor, you can't say Shema in front of it. The other one that just says you need to have a place to go so that it's not in front of everybody else, that's referring to the small stuff, namely the urine. You don't need to cover it. You just can't say Shema in front of the flow of urine. Alma, so you see, Ktanim lo asra Torah l'kenegad amud bilvad, with the small stuff, the Torah only prohibits you saying Shema in front of the flow. Hanafu l'arab, once it fell to the ground, sure, you are allowed to say Shema in front of it, biblically. Rabbanu de gazubu, the rabbis made a decree that you can't say Shema in front of it even when it fell to the ground. Therefore, v'chi gazubu rabbanu, when did the rabbis make a decree, b'vadan, only when we're sure of it. I will besfeikon, but if we're unsure, if it's even urine, lo gazubu, then they never made the decree. U'b'vadan ad kam, now even when we are sure that it's urine, how long did they make the decree for? Amr of Yudam Rashmuel, Ridus and Shmuel, Kals Man Shematfichin. As long as this urine on the floor is so wet that if it would touch other things, it would make those things moist. Vachain Amr Ula said also, Kals Man Shematfichin. As long as it's so wet that if it touches other things, it makes them moist. Gneva Mishmei de Rav Amar. Gneva said in the name of Rav, Kals Man Shereshuman Nikar. No, they don't have to be so moist, even though they've dried, and if something touches them, that thing would not become wet. But you can still see the impression of them in the ground. You still can't say Shema in front of them rabbinically. Rav Yosef said, Sharalei Marei L'Gniva. May our master, namely may God, forgive Gniva, because he's distorting what Rav said. How could he say in the name of Rav that even if the urine has dried, but you see the impression of it, you can't say Shema in front of it? How could Rav have said such a thing? Hashta here, in regards to tso, in regards to excrement, which as we just learned, is much stricter excrement. If the excrement has crested a little bit, mutter, you're allowed to say Shema in front of it. Once there's a little crust on top of it, you're already allowed to say Shema because it's dried a little bit. So do you think he's going to say that urine that dries fully, but you see the impression you can't say Shema in front of it? Of course he'd allow you to say Shema in front of urine that is dried to the point of just being an impression. Amalei Abaya said to his teacher of Yosef, my chazas tismach dahai. Why are you relying on that version of what Rav said to reject what Gneva said? Smochaha, rely on the following version of what Rav said. Rav Arvuna says the name of Rav. So when it comes to excrement, Afilu kecheres, even if it's dried as much as a hard piece of earthenware, asura, you're not allowed to say Shema in front of it. So maybe he's very strict with excrement, and maybe he's also very strict with urine, and he feels that urine that dries to the point that you can see the impression, also you can't say Shema in front of it. What's an example of excrement as hard as earthenware? Rabbi Bar Chanan, Rabbi Yochanan, Kozman Shazorka, if you throw it, and even though you throw it on the ground, it doesn't crumble. Ikadami, others say, what's hard excrement? Kozman Shagola, you could roll it on the ground, and because of the rolling, it wouldn't crumble. Okay, Amar Ravina, Ravina said a story. I was standing in front of Rav Yehuda. He saw some excrement. Amar Ali, he said to me, I am like the first view of Rav. Just see, go look at that excrement, see if it has a crust over it. If it's starting to crust, we can say Shema. He didn't feel that even if it became hard as earthenware, you still can't say Shema. He could tell me another version was, he said to him the other thing. He said, I look, if it has cracks in it, then we can say Shema, otherwise we can't. My Abi Allah, what is the bottom line conclusion? Itmar was taught in the yeshiva. Soa kacheres, if you have earthenware as hard as earthenware, excrement as hard as earthenware. Amemar Amar Asura, Amemar said, you can't say Shema in front of it. Marzut Ramam Muteres, Marzut said, you could say Shema in front of it. Amar Rav Rav said, Hilchasa. Soa kacheres, earthenware as hard as, excrement as hard as earthenware. Asura, you still can't say Shema in front of it. But Meiraglayim, we're not so strict. And in regards to urine, Kozman Shematfichin. If they make other things moist, you can't say Shema in front of them. But if they've dried up and you see an impression of them, you could say Shema in front of them. Maysvel, challenge you. We challenge Rava. We lived in a Braisa. Meiraglayim, urine. Kozman Shematfichin, Asura. And as long as they are moist, then they are prohibited. As long as they make other things moist, then you can't say Shema in front of them. Nivlu, if they got absorbed in the ground, oh, Yavshur, they dried. Mutarim, you are allowed to say Shema in front of them. So my love, what does it mean? Presumably, Nivlu absorbed is Dumya, the Yavshu is similar to drying out. So my Yavshu, just like drying out, Aim Shuma Nikar, you don't see any impression at all. Af Nivlu, so to absorb is only if Aim Shuma Nikar. If you don't see any impression, then you can say Shema. Hari Shuma Nikar, but if there's an impression you can still see us, you can't say Shema. Afagav Neim Atichin, even though they're not so moist to make other things wet. So Gemara says, no, Velit Amech, if you're going to prove from this Braisa, Imrish read the beginning of the Braisa. When can you not say Shmas of the Braisa? Because Machem Atfichinu the Asr, when they make other things wet, implying if they've dried, even though Yishuma Nikar, you are allowed to say Shema in front of them. Elamehalek Lemishmina, this Braisa doesn't prove anything one way or the other. Let me get tonight, maybe this question about how moist does the urine have to be for you not to be allowed to say Shema in front of it is an argument of tonight. If you have a utensil, an urn that had a lot of urine in it, and you poured out the urine, you can't read Kriyat Shema in front of it. Urine itself, that was poured out on the floor, nivlu, if it got absorbed into the ground, you can read Kriyat Shema in front of it. Lo nivlu, if it wasn't absorbed, so you can't read Kriyat Shema in front of it. Rabbi Yosef says, as long as that urine is so moist and it makes other things moist, then you can't read Kriyat Shema in front of it. My nivlu, my no nivlu, to come to Tanakama. When the Tanakama says, if it get absorbed, he permits. If it's not absorbed, then you can't read Kriyat Shema in front of it. What does that mean, absorbed and not absorbed? Ilema, if you're going to say nivlu absorbed, meaning dein matfichin, it's not moist, it's not going to make other things wet. Lo nivlu, if it's not absorbed, means the matfichin, it would make things wet. As Rabbi Yossi Lemeimers, then what's Rabbi Yossi adding? Rabbi Yossi says, Kol Zman Shematfichin. What's he adding? He's saying, Kol Zman Shematfichin Udasar, only as long as it makes other things wet, it's prohibited. Harishuma Nikar, but if the impression is there, but it doesn't make other things wet, Shari, it's allowed. And it's Tanakama, it's the same thing as the Tanakama. Ellis, what do you have to say? Nivlu, when the Tanakama says if it's absorbed, you can say Shema. That's the Rishuma Nikar. It's absorbed so much, you don't even see an impression anymore. Lo Nivlu, if it's not absorbed, it's the Rishuma Nikar, where you still see an impression. Asr, Rabbi Yosef, no, not that much. If it makes other things wet, then it's prohibited. But if it's dried to the point that there's an impression, sure, you're allowed to say Shema. So this question of dried to the point that there's an impression but it doesn't make other things wet is a machlokas tanai. Says the Gemara, though, not necessarily. So Kuli Amim, everybody agrees, it only is prohibited to say Shema when these things make other things wet. But if it's dried to the point that it doesn't make other things wet, but there's an impression left, it's allowed. But here the argument is about how wet does it have to be. According to the Tanakama, it has to be so wet that it makes, let's say, my shirt that goes into it wet, so that when my shirt touches my hat, it'll make my hat also wet. And according to Rabbi Yossi, if it's wet enough to make my shirt wet, even though my shirt can't make anything else wet, that's already wet enough that you can't say Shema in front of it. Okay, that completes the discussion of urine. Now we go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Yared Litvul, if a person went into the mikvah because he was a Baal Keri, and he sees the sun rising, if he can cover himself out of the mikvah before the sun rises, he should do that. So why does he have to get out of the mikvah before the sun rising? To say Shema, Leima Tana Stamaki Rabbi Lezer. So do we have a Stam Mishnah here? Like the view of Rabbi Lezer, who says that the definition of Bikumech, of waking up in the morning to say Shema, is when the sun is rising. Even if we say Allah is like Rabbi Yeshua, that says you have till the third hour to say Shema. Maybe this person wants to get out of the mikvah to say Shema, because he is one of the Vatikin. He wants to act like the very pious people. Vatikin, the very pious people, they finish Shema before the sun rises, so that they can right away pray the Shmona Esrei with the rising sun and fulfill the verse, Yira'ucha im Shamesh, they'll see you with the sun.
Right, so in this scenario, you daven Shmona Esrei in the water as well?
No.
So what's the point of him saying the Shema right before the...
At least the Shema is before the sunrise.
Isn't the whole point that you say the Shmona Esrei at the sunrise?
Apparently there's also something to saying Shema right before sunrise.
Yeah, yeah.
Vim lav, and if he can't get out, yiskasa b'mayim v'yikra, he should just cover himself in the water and read Shema. Ask the Gemara, how can he do that? The Torah says, "V'lo yirabecha ervas davar." There shall not be seen in you the nakedness. Here, libo roes ha'erva. Even if he covered himself in the water, his heart sees his genitalia, sees his nakedness. Amar Rav Elazar answered, "V'itim Rav Acha bar Abba bar Acha b'shem Rabbeinu." Some say, "Rav Acha bar Abba," said in the name of our teacher. "V'mayim achurim shana." We're talking about a very dirty mikvah. The damukara smicha. That's like a lot of mud. Shall yir libo es ha'ervaso, and then his heart is not going to see his nakedness. What about Mayim Sulam? What happens if the waters are somewhat clear? Yeshu ben Atzavaro, he should sit in them till his neck. The Kori, and then he can reach Shema. Yeshu, some say, Ochem Biragli, should make the waters muddy through his feet, through kicking things up. Tanakama, how can he say he just sits in it till his neck? Hare Liborosa Erva, his heart is seeing the nakedness. Kasavar, he holds Liborosa Erva Mutter. If the heart sees the nakedness, it's okay. Lo Yerub, Ocher, Vastavar, is that your eye shouldn't see the nakedness? That your heart can't see the nakedness. But even his heel is seeing the nakedness. If his heel sees the nakedness, it's permitted. It's when we were taught, if the heel sees the nakedness, you're allowed to say Shema. No gea. What about if the heel is touching the naked item, touching the personal item? Rabbi said, you can't say Shema. Rabbi Mutter, Rabbi said, you can say Shema. We taught this lesson this way. Rav Chinna taught it this way. No gea, if the heel is touching the organ, certainly can't say Shema. Roe, if the heel is seeing the organ, Abaye Amar Asher, Abaye says he can't say Shema. Rav Amar Mutter, Rav says he could say Shema. Why? Because Lonit and Torah Malachi Asharis, the Torah wasn't given to the angels. Things are not impossible. So that's the halacha. No gea Asher, if the heel is touching the organ, he can't say Shema. Roe, if he sees it, Mutter, he can say Shema. Amar Rava, Rava said, Rava said, so about shashas, if you have excrement underneath a glass cover, mutalikus kriyashma connected, you can read kriyashma in front of it. Everybody shashas, but if there's nakedness in a male organ or a female organ underneath a glass cover, usalikus kriyashma connected, you can't read kriyashma in front of it. So about shashas, mutalikus kriyashma, and if the excrement is under a glass cover, you can say kriyashma in front of it. It's all because you tell him this, because in regards to excrement, the Torah says, you should cover your excrement. It's covered. But if a nakedness, the male organ is covered by a glass, you can't say Kriyat Shema, because there the Torah says, there shall not be seen in you the naked matter. And here it is seen. Amar Abaye, Abaye said, so a kolshu, if you have a little tiny bit of excrement, you can get rid of it through spit. Amar Rav, Rav said, broke off, that has to be a thick spit. Amar Rav, Rav said, so abaguma, if you have a little excrement in a little hole, manich sandal olav, you can put your sandal on top of it, and then koi kriyashma, kri kriyashma. Boy, my bread Ravina, my son Ravina asked, so advukum sandal, what happens if you have excrement on the bottom of a sandal? My, can you read kriyashma? Take it, we're not sure. Amar Rav Yudavida said, oh, we call chavim arum, if you have a non-Jew who's naked in front of you, asli kri kriyashma connected, you can't read kriyashma there. My ear, you're over chavim, what do you mean a non-Jew? I feel Yisrael nami, even a Jew. So my answer is Yisrael, pshitle, a Jew, it's obvious to us, sir, that you can't do that. El over kochavim, it's trichle. El non-Jew, it's where we need the chiddush. Maratim would have thought to say, holo tzivu, since it says about the non-Jews of Egypt, asher b'sar chamor and b'sarim, that their flesh is the flesh of donkeys, emek chamor ba'amu, maybe it's just like in front of a donkey. Kamash one, do you nami ikri erva? No, they also have organs called erva. It says about Noach, v'erva saviyim lo ro'u, that cham, I'm sorry, that Shem and Yefes did not see the nakedness of their father. The Mishnah then says, lo yiskas lo b'mayim arayim, v'lo b'mayim mishra. He can't cover himself in waters that are dirty, or that have a bad smell, or waters that have flax soaking in them. He has to put water in them. Really? That's the way to read the Mishnah? How much water is he going to be able to put into the mikvah to dilute the whole thing? This is what it means. If he's in the mikvah and the mikvah smells bad, he can't cover himself with those waters and say Shema because it smells bad. He can't cover himself in waters that have flax in them because they also smell bad. Let's say he's next to urine and he shouldn't read Kriyat Shema next to it. Until he puts water into the urine and then Yikra, then he can read Kriyat Shema. How much water do you have to put into the urine to be able to read Kriyat Shema in front of it? According to the first opinion, calls to it a little bit of water. You have to put in a revius. Rav Nachman says, the argument is when you first have the urine and then you want to put in the water. But if first you put water into the pit, into the utensil, then you put in the urine, if you have just a little bit of water, it's okay, because every little bit of urine that comes in will be annulled in the water. Rav Yosef said, no, this argument about a little bit, where it says a revius is when you start with the water. But if you have urine, you want to put in the water later, everybody agrees you have to put in at least a revius of water. Rav Yosef once said, told his attendant, I see Rav Yosef Demaya, bring for me a revius of water to Rav Zakkai, because I want to fulfill the view of Rav Zakkai, that even initially, I need to first have a revius of water, and then I can put urine into it. This urn filled with excrement. And an urn filled with urine. You can't read Kriyat Shema in front of them, even if they're empty right now. And urine themselves, you first have to put in water. How much water do you have to put into the urine? Calls you a little bit. Rav Zakkai says, a revius. That's the braisa further. This law that you can't say Kriyat Shema in front of these urns that have excrement and urine. Bein lifnei amita, whether if the urn is in front of the bed, so you don't have a bed separating between you and the urn. Bein la'achra amita, or even if the urn is behind the bed, so you have a bed between you and the urn. And the bed maybe can serve as a machitza. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, no. La'achra amita, if the urn is behind the bed, Kor, you can read Kriyat Shema, even though you have this urn here, because the bed serves as a machitza. Lifnei amita, if it's in front of the bed, eino kor, you can't read Kriyat Shema. Ava marka ku, arba amas, he has to go 4 amas away, but kor, you then read Kriyat Shema. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, afilu bayis mea ama, even a room which is 100 amas wide, 150 feet, la'yikra, he can't read Kriyat Shema, achiyotim, until he takes it out of the room, o shianichem tachas amita, or he puts it under the bed. He had a question in the yeshiva. Hey, Chikamer, what did Rav Shimon Gamliel say when he says that if the urn is behind the bed, he can read Kriyat Shema? If the urn is in front of the bed, he can't read Kriyat Shema, but he walks away 4 amos. Does he mean, achra amita, if the urn is behind the bed, kor miyadi can read Kriyat Shema right away? Lift the amita, if the urn is in front of the bed, marchik arba amos for kor, he walks away 4 amos and then reads? Or maybe what he means is Chikamer. Achra amita, if it's after the bed, marchik arba amos for kor, he still has to go 4 amos away from the bed, because the bed itself is not a chatzitza. And he reads, Lifnei Amitza, but if it's in front of the bed, and he has nothing between him and the urn, Eino Kori Klal, he can't read at all, even if he goes 4 amos away. Tashma, come in here, proof. The time we did a brash, Rav Shimon Elazar Omer, Rav Shimon Elazar says, Achra Amitza, if the urn is behind the bed, Kori Miyadi, he can read Kriyat Shema right away. Lifnei Amitza, if the urn is in front of the bed, Marcha Gav Amos, he has to go 4 amos away, and then he can read, Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Afilu, the Mea Ami, even if it's a room of 100 amos, Lo Yikra, he can't read Kriyat Shema, Achi Yotzim, until he takes the urn out, Oshi Anichim Tachas Amita, or he puts it under the bed. So the Gemara says, okay, Payan of Shitlan, you've resolved the question about if he has the urn between himself and, he has the bed between himself and the urn, what the halach is. But Masni Yasa now Kashan Adadi, but now we have a contradiction in the Brises, who says what? So the Gemara says, Ipach Bas Raisa, flip, who said what in the last Brisa? My Chazat Apach Bas Raisa, why are you flipping the last Brisa? Ipach Kamaisa, flip the first Brisa? So my answer is Mat Shamit Le, who do we know? Amar Kule Bayis Arba Amos Dami, that entire room is considered 4 Amos. Rav Shimon Elazar, and therefore it's probably Rav Shimon Elazar is the one who says that even if you're in a big room, you have to take it out and you can't read Kriyat Shema. Amar Rav Yosef said, Boy, my name is Rav Huna, ask the question of Rav Huna. Mita Pasim Shosha. If you have a bed that's less than 3 Tvachim from the floor, Pshitlu Du Kalava Dami, certainly if you have something underneath the bed, it's as if it's on the floor and it's like Lavud, and therefore it's fine. Shlosha, what happens if the bed is 3 tefachim tall, or arba, 4 tefachim, chamisha, 5, shisha, 6, shiva, 7, shmona, 8, tisha, 9? Ma, what's the halacha? I'm a lazy leyadan, I don't know. Asara badilomi baya. If you have a bed 10 tefachim on the floor, and you have something underneath it, certainly that's not considered as if the bed is covering it, smothering it, because you have a break of 10 tefachim. I'm rabbi abaya said, shafra, avzloy baya. It's good that you didn't ask that question, because kol asar reshut achritzi, if you have 10, it's only a separate domain. Amar Rabba said the hilchasa. Pachas mishlosha kalavadami. Less than 3 is as if it's on the floor. Asara 10 reshut achritzi is another domain. Mishlosha v'ad asara from 3 to 10. Hayad the bayim neir of Yosef and Rav Huna. Rav Yosef asked Rav Huna v'lapashle, he didn't give him an answer. Amar Rav said, Allah k'rib shimon alaz, Allah k'rib shimon alaz, the whole house is like 4 amos. That's also what Bali said. Halacha Reb Shimon Elazar. Rava Amar Rava himself said, "Ein halacha Reb Shimon ben Elazar."